Are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Probably Birds, the only radio show that might be about birds. I'm your host, DJ Pending, and it is 1:05:13:14:15 on a Monday night / Tuesday morning. And wow, that's about the point in the show when I run out of scripted things to say. So let's just say it's a new semester. I'm happy to be here with all of you, whoever you all are. And I guess I'll give a little bit of an intro to the show, just for the new season of Probably Birds. As I said, this is the only radio show that might be about birds, and sometimes, indeed, we do talk about birds. But do not get your hopes up, because sometimes, in fact, hold up. We'll just talk about birds real quick, because I know that's why some of us are here. In the fact that I just finished a book, which doesn't seem all that related to birds, but the book was called Ducks, Newburyport. And you know, the book wasn't really related to birds, even though it was called Ducks, Newburyport, but ducks did play a role. And here's a fun duck fact for you that I think is true, which is that ducks have waxy feathers, and those feathers, because they're waxy, are waterproof. And that's why ducks have such like a smashing time in the water. And that is the bird stuff out of the way. Really what the show is I have prepared 30 minutes worth of music for an hour-long radio show. And for the other 30 minutes, I just kind of have to improvise because I am perpetually ill-prepared for this role and they keep letting me have it, which is good, which I appreciate. But I break it up, so 7 minutes of me talking right now, some music, and so on. It kind of goes between music and me talking. And so if you like one but not the other too much, A, you don't need to tell me which one you like more than the others. I'd really, in some ways, rather not know. You don't have to wait too long to get to the parts you do like. And I guess that's it. Just part A of that. But let's see. I mean, really what this show is, it's mostly me just talking about my life because that's what I can think about. And an entire season happened between the previous Probably Birds episode and this one. So there's a lot to catch people up on. Let me just give you a rundown real quick, some quick talking points. I climbed a mountain. My car exploded a little bit and now it's dead. I thought about traveling. That was fun. I cooked some food. I ate some food. I went without eating food for longer than perhaps I should have, but not a ridiculously long time, like not a whole day or anything, just like longer than average. I worked at a domestic violence shelter, which has all sorts of fun stories related to it. and not fun stories, but we'll stick to the fun ones, I think, if we share any of them at all, which we might not. I mean, this is kind of a running list of points, and we're going to try to revisit them, and some of them I will, and other ones I'll forget to revisit, and I'll remember later on that I wanted to talk about it, and I'll feel a bit sad that I forgot to, and you guys probably won't care too much. And that's just kind of how this dynamic works, I think. I wouldn't know because I don't know who you are. But let's talk about, look, forget the summer for now. It's fall. It's officially fall. It was officially fall, I guess, 2 days ago. It's the 24th now. But really, it's more like the 23rd. And it was like 90 degrees today. And I want to put on the record, on public record, this is the radio, so everything I say here counts, that's not okay that it's 90 degrees. And I can't, look, I don't have an air conditioning unit in my room, in my house, and everyone else in my house does, and so their rooms get all nice and cool, and I just kind of have to, like, sweat it out, which I do admirably. I've washed my sheets, so it's ready for a new dosing of sweat. And in some ways, it makes it feel more like the sheets are mine, right? If it's got my perspiration sort of caked in, but in other ways, it makes me uncomfortable to sleep on them. And it's not even that I particularly mind the sweat. It's that I think about, like, another being, like a human, another human being in the room, which I will freely admit, there aren't any other humans in there when I'm going to bed. It's just me. But I think about the judgment of an invisible other. And that judgment, more than anything else, makes me wash my sheets when they get too gross because it's too hot outside when I'm going to bed. And I guess that's like the result of socialization. I guess that's what's happened to me. I've had these values of this society, and I'm trying to say that so you can hear air quotes that I'm not actually putting up. These values of a society ingrained in me. And it's really probably for my own good, because if that weren't the case, I'd go all day without, not all day, I'd go like forever. I'd spend an infinite amount of time sweating into my sheets and not washing them, and things would probably get pretty gross. So I guess this is a rare thank you, society, for teaching me to not be bad at being a person. And also related to the heat, we can't get political on this show. But I don't think it's political to say, and I might be corrected promptly, but I don't think it's political to say that I am pretty in love with Greta Thunberg. Is that her name? But I feel bad, too, listening to her talk, because although I like hearing her passion, I'm not going to say any specific points, but I like hearing her passion, and her anger is what really gets me, like, revved up. I also know that she has many reasons to be angry with me and my inaction. And so I like her a lot, and she makes me feel guilty about my choices, which is probably a good thing. And I guess that's the roundup. It's going to get cooler tomorrow. It's also a weather show. It's a news show. It's a weather show. It's a stream of conscious monologue. It's a show that plays mostly indie music. And sometimes, my dear, beautiful, darling listeners, we do talk about birds, so stay tuned for maybe that. In the meanwhile, I've got some more music for y'all. We started off the night with The Bends by Radiohead, followed by the Probably Birds theme song by my uncle and cousin. Thank you to them for that. And now let's keep it going with some jamming beats. Yeah, here we go. Buckle up. Got your troubles and I got mine. Baby, that's right.
marathons and take on whatever together.
All right, wow, what an experience. We just heard That's Right by Cage the Elephant, followed by AM180, that's 180 spelled out numerally, by Granddaddy. And now is a very special point in the show where I am obligated, I believe legally, and if not legally, morally, I'd say, to read a PSA, that is a public service announcement. New listeners to the show should be aware that I read one of two PSAs. I always read one of the two that I always turn to. And I'll just get into it. Today you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You went to work. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. Okay, that is our PSA. And now I don't know how much I'm allowed to critique these things, but just I've gone to like ready.gov/today or whatever it is that I just read out. And at least last time I've checked, because I want to know what I'm telling y'all to do. Last time I checked, the website, well, containing important information about emergency preparedness, was not very well designed. That's all I'm going to say, because that's really all there is to say. Let's talk about my car blowing up. That's a cool story hinted at. My car blew up. I was driving. It was a 1999 Toyota Sienna. Had it as long as I can remember. Grew up in that car, essentially. Light blue minivan. Beautiful car. Had, I think, one tire rim left, was missing a door handle, dented, scratched, but beautiful. I mean this genuinely, that I was, and in many ways still am, in love with that car. And I wrote a eulogy for it. Maybe I'll read the eulogy on air during the next me talking at you. I love that car. And maybe I'll read it now. I'll pull it up. I think I have enough time to pull it up before I should be playing music again. Sorry for the unprofessional nature of this show, but that's just kind of what you're going to get. All right, here's the eulogy. It is with great sorrow that I share the news of the van's recent passing. Although she lived a long life, defying the expectations of many, the van proved to be no more immortal than you and I. Those who knew the van will be pleased to hear that she did not pass quietly, opting instead to blow up in the middle of the New Jersey Turnpike. As smoke and steam clouded the windshield, she ignited every indicator light on her dashboard in a final salute before shuddering to a final stop. The van was not an easy car to love. Her brakes protested, her door handles were, at times, non-existent, and steering her in the snow was more akin to sledding than driving. However, these quirks only deepened my feelings of affection for the van. I felt as though we were not a driver and a vehicle, but equals, each with a distinct perspective on how to drive. Piloting the van was a constant compromise between man and machine, and I could not have asked for a better partner. I cannot remember a time in my life without this car, and I feel as though a part of me blew up alongside her on the interstate. On dark, lonely roads, I found home and comfort in the green glow of her dashboard. Make no mistake, in losing the van, I have lost a home. The love I hold for the van is immense, and although her spirit is now confined to the slow decay of my memory, I believe the love in my heart will keep her soul alive. In the aftermath of disaster, I can only think of the roads I will be forced to drive without her, the highways and byways she'll never see. Still, I must drive on. Please feel free to use the space below to share memories of our dearly departed, or should memory fail you, to simply mourn her passing. And then a quote, caring too much for objects can destroy you. Only, if you care for a thing enough, it takes on a life of its own, doesn't it? And isn't that the whole point of things, beautiful things, that they connect you to some larger beauty? That's Donna Tartt from The Goldfinch. And that is basically sums up the van. I mean, I blew up on the interstate, just a small explosion, but enough to kill the van permanently. And I abandoned her for scrap in New Jersey, and I've never felt whole since. I have a new car, which is nice. I really actually appreciate having a new car, and in many ways, it's a much nicer car. The brakes work. They do not doth protest. The brakes are functional. All four door handles, I feel safe in it. My passengers feel safe in the new car, which I could actually give a real name to, as it is mine to name. It doesn't have to be just the car, as the van was... Well, the van was more than the van. It was the van, you have to understand. But I'm not quite settled in with my new car yet. It doesn't feel... I don't feel a relationship with it yet. And I have to trust, I think, that with time, that relationship will grow. But it's weird. It's kind of like... And look... I've never had this experience, so here's a big statement, but it's kind of like I've lost a spouse, okay? And really, the van, in many ways, this is going to sound pretty sad, but the van, in many ways, in the past couple of years, so the closest thing I really had to a spouse, you know, that can always depend on the van. She had a mind of her own, but we had like a mutual understanding and respect for each other. I found comfort with her. I felt safe with her. In ways that I haven't felt with anyone in a long time. And she blew up. And it might be my fault. I mean, that's the truth. Maybe I pushed her too hard one day. The day she blew up. Because there's an issue with the heating, and if I was looking at the engine temperature, maybe I could have slowed down before it was too late. But we can't dwell on these things, you know? I mean, the van is gone. And I'm left with a beautiful new car that I haven't fallen in love with yet. But, you know, this is God's green earth, okay? And I don't know what that really means, but I know that anything's possible. And that if I want to fall in love with a car after being torn apart by the death of my previous love, a minivan, then I can do that, and I will do that. This is probably Birds, okay? And we're going to talk about loving vehicles like only I can. Yeah, sorry about that. That got a bit intense. If you've lost a car, know that you're not alone, I guess I want to say. In a sense, it is deeply amusing, and in another sense, it is immensely tragic. And that's the tension I found myself with, how one of the great tragedies of my life is, in many ways, even to myself, kind of a joke. And with that, oh boy, with that being said, I'm going to play more music and recuperate a bit. I hope you enjoy. I love you. You're so good. You're so beautiful. Here we go. Buckle up again. It's car themed now. Here we go. My only wish. Just heard, what did we just hear? Told You Once by Howler, followed by Naked Kids by Group Love, and then finally Hate for the Island by Los Campesinos. Fun fact, all those songs, at least according to Spinitron, came out in 2011, so I hope you liked that blast to the past. I know that I appreciated it for the brief time I was there. Alright, some thoughts. And real quick, I want y'all to appreciate the situation I'm in before we get into my actual thoughts. In that I'm alone in the dark, in a room in the dark, I'm alone, and I'm monologuing to myself. And that's kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, that's kind of insane. And I've given myself the space to fill with my words, and I'm not sure if anyone's listening. Someone probably is. And in some ways, I like to pretend that no one is, because it makes this whole process a lot lower stakes for me, a lot easier to sort of shoulder is a part of my body. Elbows, knees, toes, stomach, esophagus. That's a fun one. I've lost my train of thought. Regardless, we are thinking about tensions in my life. That's the lighthearted, cool radio topic we were, you know, rapping on. And another tension in my life that I've come across lately, and you know, it's maybe tension's too strong a word, because it's not like something that's pulling me apart or anything, but when I engage in personal expression, and when I say personal expression, I mean personal in the truest sense, where it's expression that I don't expect other people to ever encounter, like this radio show or things I write that I don't expect others to see. When I engage in these activities and I say things or do things, sometimes I don't know if I'm trying to make fun of myself or trying to like be true to myself, which maybe you can imagine is a strange position to be in, where I don't know if I am myself or a satire of myself. And that's a thought I've had, and it's not a thought that particularly bothers me, because I don't know if I care if I'm a satire of myself or if I am my actual self. But there you go, food for thought. Apply that to your own life, but don't freak out, because know that no matter what, people love you and care about you, including me, because you are a human being and you've met other human beings on this world, and we all influence each other and impact each other and care about each other. So keep that in mind if you start worrying that you're some sort of weird, exaggerated version of yourself, even when you're alone and only with yourself. Great. Another story from the summer. Why not? I climbed a mountain. I said that, and I'll talk about it now. I said it, A, because it's true, and if there's one thing I'm not allowed to do on the radio, it's tell lies. I climbed a mountain. It's not a big mountain. It's called Old Rag in the Shenandoahs, and I wonder if Old Rag, the mountain, is okay with having that name, because if I were a mountain, I wouldn't want to be called Old Rag. You got all these cool mountain names, like Mount Everest, which I'm sure has a cooler name in other languages, like Nepalese, for instance. But Mount Everest, pretty cool as well. K2, another cool mountain name, kind of a different vibe than Mount Everest. It's more sleek, more modern. I feel like it would have, it's like an Apple product or something, K2, but still, great. And I could go Denali. Cool name. I'm sure it means something cool in the language that Denali is in. Or maybe it just means Denali, and that's okay too. And then there's Old Rag, okay? And granted, Old Rag is not like the mountain of all mountains. It's like a mountain that's fun to climb in the Shenandoahs on the Appalachian mountain range, which is not the grandest mountain range, but still, it's a mountain. I mean, Earth had to move for that mountain to get there, like a process of thousands, millions of years, probably. I don't actually know a lot about mountains, but then humans come along and we see this, I think, pretty impressive mountain. It's tall, it's green, it's beautiful, and we're like, yeah, that's Old Rag. And I think if I were a mountain, if I were Old Rag, that would hurt just a little bit. But maybe Old Rag doesn't care because it's a mountain and we'll, you know, in all likelihood, outlive us all. Now, that being said, not all mountains outlive people. And I say this because my brother has a friend. It's one of those stories. My brother has a friend And maybe I've told this story before, but my brother has a friend. The end. No. His name is Tucker. And he's got some family that's, you know, kind of proper Appalachian living. If you, well, you'll catch my drift by the end of the story where I think this is Tucker's cousin's friend, actually. Tucker's cousin's friend's grandfather. I know. Had a piece of property in West Virginia, I believe it was. Maybe it was Western Virginia. I'm not too sure on the details, but I know there was a mountain and that this grandfather did not want a mountain on his property anymore, or part of a mountain, a small mountain, something like that. And so he bought a lot of dynamite, as they do in Western Virginia and or Virginia. He just bought a lot of dynamite, put it into the mountain, and then he got Tucker's cousin's friend, his grandson, to take their rifle, their hunting rifle, and shoot the dynamite from a distance. And the mountain blew up. The mountain just completely blew up, and there was no longer a mountain on his property. So in one way, mission accomplished. And in another sense, it did register, I believe, on the like seismographs, the earthquake detectors. And, you know, people had to come check out, like, hey, why isn't there a mountain here anymore? And I think fines were paid and apologies in all likelihood given. But at the end of the day, there was no longer a mountain. So, yeah, mission accomplished. Good job to my brother's friend's cousin's friend's grandfather for a job well done. And that's what I mean when I say proper Appalachian living, I guess. Although, you know, take that stereotype with a grain of salt, because people are people everywhere and they're diverse and beautiful, but it's a fun story. If a little bit, I don't know if it's true, but I said earlier that I can't lie on the radio, but I don't think it's a lie if I think it's true. And I do think it's true. Maybe I shouldn't, though. I mean, saying the story out loud, it sounds kind of far-fetched, but I choose to believe because I want to live in a world where crazy things happen. Not scary crazy things, although certainly those happen as well. Just sort of cool. I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of scary. This guy, this one individual, is able to buy enough dynamite to blow up a mountain, and that's kind of frightening. But if you don't look at it too hard, and you can just laugh about it, and I'm saying don't worry. No, you should worry. There's a lot to be. I need a cohesive message. I'm telling you to ignore everything that's wrong with the world and live on in beautiful bliss. And with that message that I'm going to probably go back on later, because it's not a good way to live, really. Don't do that. Here's some more music. Here we go. And then I'll be back, and then we'll say goodbye. I love you. You're wonderful. Here's a song or two. Or three. It's three songs, actually.
Fire across the plains. Light upon the lake. Lonely haze of dawn. When old days are gone.
right. We have finished off the night with Light Upon the Lake by Whitney, followed by Hope by Sandy Alex G, and then finally Flume by Bon Iver. And I realize that a lot of the cats and kittens out there are, you know, all hyped about Bon Iver's new stuff. And by new, I mean anything not from his first album, his literal first album, but especially his most recent album. I've heard some talk. Word on the street is it's pretty neat. And I've heard it, all right? And it's cool. But, and I don't talk about the music I play very much, but there's nothing wrong with some, like, good old-fashioned, like, folk rock. And nowadays, everyone's turning themselves into robots to be, you know, more expressive in our digital cyberkinetic age, and I'm just out here trying to stay human, which is not necessarily the right choice. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with being a robot these days. I'm pro-robot generally, but it's not the choice for me. I'm trying to live a life of flesh and blood and sweat, as we mentioned earlier. But anyways, that's it for music. Many people have radio shows and they have outro songs, and that helps the next person fade in. But because of the lateness of the hour, there is no one after me, which is often the case. And so I just kind of ramble until it's time to stop rambling. And we generally, I say we, I'm the only one here, but I like to imagine we includes my longtime fans and listeners. We generally like to end the show with a couple words on self-care and love and being kind to yourself and to others, but with a focus on the self, because I think that's too often overlooked, even as we're talking about it more and more as people living here in this world where we're all robots, and how robots need to care for each other and love each other. And I mean, not robots, but, you know, we have these machines that are extensions of ourselves, and we use them to, like, expand our abilities, etc. You know the drill, I'm sure. The point is, cyberkinetic system or not, robot or not, in love with a van or a car or anything, it's important to love yourself. And, you know, it's important to love your mom, too. I mentioned Ducks Newburyport earlier at the beginning of the show. It's a book I've read recently. It's a very big book, and I would urge you to read it. But if you don't have time, I'll sum it up for you. The monologue of an Ohio housewife makes you wish that you treated your mom better when you were growing up. So, if you don't love your mom, that's okay. I'm not going to say you have to love your mom, because I know that some people have complicated relationships with their moms. But if you do love your mom, and I love my mom, tell your mom you love her. And tell yourself that you love yourself, too. Now, onto the self-love. It's the beginning of the semester, and we're kind of getting to the swing of things. Or if you're not a student, apply this as you will to your own life. It's the beginning of something, and you're kind of getting into the swing of something. And do yourself a favor and try to stay on top of things. But if you don't stay on top of things, and it happens, every stuff comes up. Life is unpredictable and messy, and we get through it anyways. Just remember that it's not the end of the world. All things will pass. If things are okay. I can give more concrete exercises. I mean, one thing that is just kind of nice to do, and you can just do this for yourself, you don't have to show anyone, but, like, write down a nice thing about yourself. Something that either could be something someone told you, and you can write that down, or it could be something you come up with on your own if you can do that. But it can be really nice if you're kind of going throughout your week, and, you know, oftentimes if people say nice things, you know, you say thank you and you forget about it. You don't really let yourself think about it and feel good about it. And I would encourage you, if you feel comfortable, to, in the coming week, and I'll be here in a week, so we can talk about it then. In the coming week, if you get a compliment, just write it down. Revisit it. Validate that compliment, not only to the person who gave it, but to yourself, because there's a reason why they gave you that compliment. And, you know, just do what you will with it, I suppose. But You are loved. You are lovely. You are valuable. You have inherent human value that cannot be taken away by anything. And I am not talking about the cost of your organs on the black market. I'm talking about something that goes above capitalism. You can call it a soul if you want. You can call it just the process of being alive on this crazy shifting planet of ours in this universe. The fact is that you are here and you are thinking and you are giving meaning to the world just by being here and being a witness to all of its glory and all of its horror, and the world in turn is giving meaning to you. And I think that's kind of a beautiful thing. And you don't have to agree. I don't mind too much. I don't know if you're listening right now. And if you're not, that's okay. And also get some sleep if you're tired. Or stay up if you're not. Just take care of yourself. Love yourself. Yeah. I've got like 15 seconds to kill. Usually I time it a bit better, but you know, new semester. I got to get into the groove a bit. We're all getting into the groove. So 8 seconds. I love you. You're beautiful. I'll be here in a week. Listen in or don't. And please do take care.